The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah has spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather band around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus
morning, especially in the Gospel, John is very much talking about change. And I've been coming here long enough to notice that for over the last, the last 20 years, to know and to realize that every time I celebrate Mass, each and every one of you are in the same seat and in the same position, in the same seat. You never change. You know, and you think you're not really open. None of us are. And there's something else I know about you. You always sit in the same chair at home, right? And you get out the same side out of your bed every morning, right? Have you ever thought for a change? Oh, I'd get out of another side this morning, or the other side. See how reluctant we are to change. And that's what John is talking about in the Gospel today, very much, talking about change. change that leads to transformation, a new attitude to things, a new way of seeing. Lent is a new beginning. It comes right at the beginning of the church's year. So it's a good time to do a little bit of looking at ourselves and to see where maybe we can change. Now, when I talk about change, I'm not talking really about sitting in a different seat in the church. These are minor details. These things don't really matter. What I'm really talking about is the change that comes from within ourselves. Somebody put it very well. We got to change maybe our loyalties. We got to ask ourselves maybe, who is my real God? Who is my real God? Now, changing our loyalties, changing our loyalty from, for example, power, success, money, control. How reluctant we are to give up any kind of control. Maybe you live with a control freak. Somebody who is very controlling. We've all come across people like that. Power. Now, when I talk to you, I'm also talking to myself, because I too, no different from you. All the faults you have, I have. I'm not a priest who happens to be a man. I'm just a man who happens to be a priest. And that makes a big difference when you realize that. I sometimes wonder, was God mad when he called me to be a priest? But God knows better. I don't. So, looking differently at these things. Success. Now, is success our real goal in life? Is the accumulation of money or possessions our real goal in life? Or not, or being so reluctant to give up power? And the answer is no. We got to put Christ in those places instead of those. In the end, in the final analysis, it's not going to really matter whether you were really successful in life, or you made a lot of money, or you had a lot of power, or you were always in control. It's not. The only thing you need to be is the person that God wants you to be. Now, this is the interesting thing, and it's a different way maybe of looking at the first reading. It's very, very true to say that anything you fight against, you empower. You give it a new power. And when I look at my faults and my failings, I've given up fighting against them. And that's good advice. Because the more I fight against them, the more they seem to come at me. So, in some ways, the way to overcome your faults and failings, not overcome, is to make friends with them. Now, there's a lovely, can I just borrow the book for a moment? Don't open the book now, I'll do it for you. In the first reading, there's a lovely, this is what struck me so strong this morning, listening. I hadn't got to me last night, but I did early this morning. Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb. Can you imagine a wolf and a lamb, friends? The calf and the lion shall graze together and become friends. You know, you don't normally mix animals like that. And I love the next one of the phrases. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors. My closest neighbors are my faults. Yep. My closest neighbors are my fault. And Jesus said, love your neighbor. And he also said, and here's another interesting thing. Jesus said, love your neighbor. But he also said, love your enemies. Who are your enemies? I have one enemy in life. One real enemy. Would you like to know who it is? I'll tell you. You're looking at him. No, seriously, you're looking at him. If I could overcome the self, I'd be a new man. I would be a new man in Christ. I would. So you're looking at my real enemy, the ego. Somebody said that's an acronym. E-G-O is an acronym for edging God out. Ego. And that's very, very true. Self comes first. And that's why Jesus is always talking about dying to the self. He's not talking about, you know, dying in the sense of the physical death, but dying to the self. And the more you can die to self, the more joy-filled you become, and the more alive you become. When you're always worried about the self, you're not really alive. You're not really enjoying life. You're not putting anything into life. So, if you remember that, look at your ego, and invariably it's edging God out. It's not putting God first, but it's putting oneself first. And the more you realize that. Look at all the things you're going to do today, and self will be the dominant influence. And again, I'm also talking about myself. I'm no different from any one of you sitting there. I just happen to be the person up here. That's the only difference. That's the only difference between you and I. There's no other difference. Going back, there was a lovely cardinal in the United Kingdom some years ago, and I had joy, because there was a joy, of meeting the man a number of times. And what a lovely, humble man he was, Cardinal Basil Hume. Some of you might have heard of him. And he contracted a very bad cancer, and he was dying. In fact, the Queen used to call him my cardinal. She had a great respect for him. My cardinal, she used to call him. And he used to often go to Buckingham Palace to visit her. But he contracted cancer, and he had quite a painful death, and he knew he was dying, and he accepted totally with a smile on his face. But here's the interesting part. He arranged his funeral and the liturgy, and for the gospel at his funeral mass, he chose the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And one of his friends said, that's a strange choice you have made. I've never heard that read at a funeral mass before, the Pharisee and the publican. And he said, why, Cardinal, have you chosen that particular reading? And he said, because rather than stand before God and say to God, I'm Cardinal Hume, I was the Archbishop of Westminster, I was the Prince of the Church, I would much rather stand before God and say, God, have merciful on me, a sinner. What a lovely thought. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. What a lovely thought, a lovely way of looking at things. And that's what I try and do in my life. I'm never, ever going to be perfect. And you might say, thank God for that. But the news is, none of you either are. You can try all you want, but you're never going, and you're going to die with the same faults as you have now. You're never going to overcome all your imperfections and all your faults. But the real definition of perfection is incorporating your faults and failings and making friends with them, becoming their closest neighbor and just coming before God and saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. To be aware of your failings, to be aware of how much you put self in front at times. That's the secret, just awareness. Awareness. That's what won the Lord's love for the poor publican. He was aware of his faults and failings. He had no false opinion about himself. It was just his humble self. And all God wants you to be is to be the same. To accept the beautiful person that God made when he made you. Because God loves you as you are. Nothing more, nothing less.